Welcome to Inspired by Purpose. Each week, we roll out episodes of successful, purpose-inspired entrepreneurs to inspire and empower you. My name is Dr. Ozzy Jankovic, and I believe that purpose is what inspires us to make our greatest impact. I'm so grateful that you're here. Now let's get started. All right, everyone, welcome to the episode. Today's episode is so good. It's so inspiring. You're going to meet Esther Avant, who's a fitness expert who's built a highly profitable business entirely online. And she's going to talk about fitness today. She's also going to talk about marketing. Her approach to marketing has been strategic. She's done some things I've actually never heard of being done to start a business and to grow a business. And she's going to get into all of that and more today, coming up soon. Before I bring on Esther, I want to have a heart-to-heart with you about the topics in this episode, because we talk about fitness as well as business. And I want to speak with you about something really important when it comes to fitness and what we talk about here. So Esther's approach to fitness is distinct to her. There are different approaches to fitness. There are different approaches to health and weight loss. And I think that the approach that you take needs to be highly individualized to empower you wherever you are now in your journey. Now, the content here about fitness also includes content about weight loss. And I know that can be triggering for some people, which is why we're having this conversation. There are different approaches to all of these things, and I think they're all valid in different places for different people. But on a personal level, I have steered clear of anything with the words diet or weight loss for much of my more recent adult life. And this is because I started dieting when I was around 9. I absorbed so many messages from the culture that I had to be thin in order to be beautiful. And I was not born like a small person. It's just not my makeup. And I'm like a more muscular build. I'm not small. It's just the way that I am. And I think that absorbing these messages that one needs to be thin and, you know, grossly thin even to be beautiful is so dangerous. For me, I wasted valuable brain space and energy trying to fit society's expectations of beauty, and this went well into my adult life. It wreaked havoc on me in so many ways, and I know that I'm not alone. My own self-concept, thinking I was not thin enough, has held me back from being visible and living out my potential so many times, time and again. Fortunately, I have found positive role models. To name a few, there's Brené Brown. She herself shares publicly she's not thin. And yet she puts herself out there and she's honest and she's vulnerable and she's a leader and she's strong and she doesn't hold herself back. Another person that I want to bring up is Sharon Salzberg. So I came across Sharon Salzberg's work. She's in the field of meditation and happiness, and she's such a light in this world, and she's not thin. And yet she does her TED Talk and she speaks publicly and she's changing lives and changing the world. And I'm so grateful for role models like this who do not let weight stand in their way from sharing their message, being visible, and changing the world. I have come to believe firmly that no matter what, weight should not get between you and your dreams. There is nothing, including the way that you look, that should get in the way of you and your dreams. Your dreams are too important. Esther has structured her work around the story of her own mother. Esther's on a mission to help as many women as possible. And I do believe that what she shares about fitness can help the right person who wants to get stronger or in better cardiovascular shape or to lose weight. If, however, you are not interested in these topics and they're too sensitive for you, please listen at your own discretion, and you might want to fast forward to the end of the episode where she talks about her business building journey, which is relevant for those of you who want to focus more on business. All right, with all of that being said, let's go ahead and move on. If you're interested in reading the transcripts of this episode, highlights, or recaps, please visit drozzy.co/in. That's drozzy.co/in. This episode is sponsored by ThriveCart, the world's best converting checkout software for digital businesses. If you have a digital business, if you're using something like SamCart or ClickFunnels, you can save thousands of dollars by turning to ThriveCart for all your checkout needs. You can visit drozzy.co/thrive to learn more. With nothing further, let's get into the episode. Here is Esther. Esther Avant, I'm so excited that you're here with me on Inspired by Purpose. I know you're logging in from Germany. I'm here in Israel, and we are talking to people around the world today about how you got inspired by purpose and how you've grown your multi six-figure business. You're running it from Germany and you see clients around the world. So we're going to get into all of that today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Why don't we start out by your story and how you got inspired by purpose?
Yeah. So I had recently discovered the gym when I was late in high school. And that sort of was the catalyst of choosing my major, which was exercise science. And once I was there, I got certified as a personal trainer. I was working in an in-person commercial gym for one of my first jobs out of college. And it was in working with my first set of real life clients that I started to realize, while exercise is incredibly important, it wasn't the end all be all when it came to making lasting health changes and to health in general. I had a lot of clients who were, you know, the general population, middle-aged women who were overweight and unhappy and were getting, you know, reprimands from their doctors about their health markers and things like that, and wanted to lose weight. And the first kind of obvious step for them was, well, I'll get a personal trainer. And then would reach these frustrations of feeling like, well, I've been paying X money per session and I've been showing up religiously and I'm still just not losing that much weight. So that's what threw me further into the nutrition aspect of health when I realized that that's really what is driving weight loss, that our nutrition choices have so much to do with our overall health. And to just focus on exercise would be doing my clients a disservice. And then as I rounded out that skill set with different internships and certifications, I started getting interested in psychology, behavior change, and actually taking the science and, you know, talking to an individual and saying, here's how that applies to you. Here's what it means to you. Here's how we can use that to help you reach this goal that you care about. At the same time, as I was pursuing all of these things, I was also a teenager, college student, early 20s, something, kind of figuring out life and having my own struggles with binge eating, restricting, drinking a lot, just really going through textbook cycles of I'm going to be perfect starting on Monday. And then, oh, I've been so good all week that come Friday, I deserve to treat myself. And then the whole weekend would spiral and around we'd go. So self-experimentation is where I learned a ton about how to take the science and apply it to a person where, okay, you can tell me that I should be doing this, but why am I not? Or why does it feel so hard? Or why can't I do it more consistently? So I learned a ton from just experimenting with myself and realizing, you know, what tripped me up, what helped me be successful. And the final piece of where my purpose has come from was in seeing my mom struggle with her weight and do an amazing job at sort of shielding me from the negative side of that. I know a lot of the women we work with who are my age or a little bit older, the examples that were set for them by the older women in their lives was not so positive. It was a lot of diet talk and negativity and body shaming and things like that, that now these grown adults are trying to process and work through on their own. And I realized what lengths my mom must have gone to not show any of that to me. And she ended up passing away from cancer in her early 60s and had, you know, for all of her adult life had struggled with her weight. And as my career was developing, I just felt more and more like, I wonder if she had had a well-rounded, compassionate health professional in her life, if that person could have helped her make positive changes sooner. And for a long time, just I'd say probably just this year, I've gotten more comfortable talking about it because I never wanted it to seem like I was monetizing her loss or her legacy or anything like that. That there was any way I was like using that as a compelling story to build a business. But as I've just grown as a person and become a mother myself, I realize just how much of my story, you know, that is. And the women that we work with now and the women that I'm so called to help are women like her. She was a social worker. She was so kind and caring and empathetic, truly the like give you the shirt off her back type of person. And to know that she also had these struggles with what she looked like and with her health, I know that there's so much more to women than what they look like or the size that they're wearing or the number on the scale. And yet, most of us have spent decades just obsessing over that. And I know how distracting it is. And I know that so many incredible women are so preoccupied with their weight and their bodies that they never get to fully pursue their passions. And I know that if the health can kind of be like the gateway drug to doing incredible things, women in general, moms especially, have been the catalyst behind so many incredible like world movements that I just feel like the best way for me to kind of live my mother's legacy on is to empower as many women as possible to prioritize their health so that then in turn they have the confidence and the ability to pursue whatever lights them up and leave their mark on the world that way. So that is my unsuccessful attempt at shortening my story.
There's nothing to shorten right there. And everything you said, I'm sorry to hear about your mom. First thing, she sounds like an incredibly inspiring woman. And for you to honor her in this way is helping so many women. And you know, what you said about incredibly powerful women being diminished by this obsession on weight and trying to stay small, it really speaks to me. I know I can identify with that personally. I was never naturally thin. And I look back and I wonder, well, how much of my brain power could have been reallocated to something productive if I wasn't counting calories from the time I was 10? And I think it's a product of our culture. I think so many young women see these models, whether it's these clothes on the mannequins or the models on young girls, and are given these unrealistic expectations about how they should look and messages about nutrition that are inaccurate. And it's been so destructive on so many women. So the fact that you're helping women break free is heartwarming to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that most of our listeners are women and they have so much incredible potential in life and in business. So we're going to get into the model that you use. And then we're also going to talk about how you've built your multi-six-figure business. I know that you help women focus on health and weight, but you also go into this deeper work and you have a three-part pyramid that you use as a model. Can you share with us about that as well, Esther?
Yeah. So I think it's so important to just stress that it's okay to want to change how you look or how you feel. And so much just gets polarized these days where certain aspects of kind of the culture will have you think that there's something wrong with you if you want to lose weight or be healthier, that you should just accept where you are right now. And then of course we have, you know, the more, I don't know, deeper rooted thinness over everything. And it's like, there's so much in between. There's so many shades of gray, where a lot of people will be healthier, happier, more confident by prioritizing their health. And the weight loss is more of a byproduct of that than the focal point. So the approach that we take is, you nailed it. We have kind of three pillars of it. And the women that we work with are largely so busy and spread so thin that over the course of becoming mothers, you know, developing their careers, et cetera, just life happening, they found that their own health is the thing that has wound up on the back burner more often than not. And at some point, there's some sort of awakening where we're just like, okay, something has to change. I can't keep coming in last. I'm tired. I'm irritable. My clothes don't fit. I don't feel good. All those things. So what we focus on is helping our clients develop the confidence, the commitment, and the consistency they need to tackle their health and weight loss goals. And also the same formula applies to any other goal they want to accomplish. So the first pillar is learning and mastering the exercise and nutrition big rocks. And this is the kind of tactical day-to-day, what should I be doing? These are the questions that everybody comes to us wanting the answers to. What should I be eating? How much? When? What should I do for workouts? The very like, somebody just give me the answers and I'll do what you tell me to do stuff. And that stuff does matter, especially because there's so much noise out there that if you've been at this for a while, you don't know which way is up. You look over here, carbs are bad, look over there, fat's bad. You're like, should I just be drinking water? Oh, fasting is fasting good? Is fasting bad? There's so much. So we really strive to simplify everything and say, there's, I believe it's called the Pareto's principle, where, you know, 80%. Yeah, exactly. That 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts. So I've found that that is true with health and weight loss as well, that there are a handful of key behaviors that generate the majority of your results. And when you focus on just those, you have the mental relief and bandwidth of forgetting everything else to devote more resources to the stuff that's going to matter. And then in turn, when you aren't splitting your focus a million different places, you can more easily pick up on what are the things that are preventing me from doing the big rocks consistently? And that ends up being really the work to solve for, is once those questions are answered and you're like, okay, I have the workout program. I know what to be eating. Well, now what keeps cropping up? Do I keep emotionally eating at the end of the day? Am I finding myself unprepared for my workday meals? Do I keep telling myself I'm too tired to exercise? So once you know the what to do, then you can start scratching beneath the surface and figuring out, all right, well, what's next to address? So the big rocks is kind of the tip of the iceberg, because it's what most people see and focus on, but there's really so much more beneath the surface that needs attention. So the second level of our approach is comprehensive support. And that comes in the form of access to a whole team of really world-class professionals, registered dietitian, physiologist, clinical psychologist, mindset coach, daily accountability, all from the kind of professional side of support. Knowing that instead of throwing, you know, spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks, or asking Dr. Google all your questions, you have trusted professionals who you can go to and say, here's what I'm wondering, here's what's happening, and get actual helpful, qualified advice. And then when we say comprehensive support, the other piece of that is your peers. We talk about developing an advisory board of people who are similar to you, who you can go to for advice, who can turn to you for advice. And one of the best ways to step into your identity as a fit and healthy person is to teach other people what has helped you. And that's one of my favorite things, is to see our more seasoned clients who welcome our newer clients and say, oh, I was where you were, and you know, this is what I learned, sort of thing. So that sort of support is such a game changer, because a lot of us, looking at the state of, you know, the United States for sure, where most people are unhealthy, unhappy, when an individual starts to make a change, it can feel really isolating. You don't necessarily have the support. You may even intentionally or unintentionally be feeling like you're pulled down by the people around you, often because it highlights their own insecurities, and it just ends up being this like really sticky web that's hard to get out of. So to have support of people who are doing the same thing, who can relate to the ups and downs, who can help normalize what the process is like, really helps our clients be more successful in the long run. So that's the second piece. And then the third piece is really my favorite, and it's the one that no other program out there addresses, and I truly believe is the key to lasting results. And it's learning how to take compassionate ownership of your results. And that's a term that I came up with to describe the need for taking responsibility for what we can control, our attitude, our actions, our efforts, while also doing it from a place of empathy. A lot of women can relate to being our own toughest critics, and immediately, anytime we're imperfect, turning around and being, oh, I knew it. I could never do it. I'm too lazy. I'm not disciplined enough. And we just beat ourselves up. Nothing good gets done from that place. But at the same time, we do need to accept responsibility that no one can do this for me. And I need to be willing to develop the tools and the skills that I need to overcome the obstacles that I face in each day, each phase of my life. So that's really the deep work that we do is, like I said, once we identify what's preventing you from doing the big rocks consistently, then we get into the mindset work. Is it a lack of worthiness? Is it that from age 10, you were trying to be smaller and it's bringing up all sorts of, you know, childhood trauma for you? Is it that you have just let people walk all over you for so long that you don't know how to set and uphold boundaries anymore? Is it that you want everyone to like you, so you say yes, yes, yes to anything anybody asks of you until there's nothing left for yourself? So that ends up being the deepest work, and developing those tools and skills is what equips someone to not just reach the goal, but have the unwavering confidence that I know how to stay here because I wasn't following this like very specific formula of workouts and calories. I was developing the character of someone who just is this person.
It's so powerful what you're saying about developing a character, because as you said, all of these prescriptive measures being told what to do doesn't create long-term change. And I think about that in relationship to the women I help in business. And it's very, very similar, because I heard just this morning, someone asked me, tell me exactly what to do to market and run my business. And I said, listen, we can look for models, but at the end of the day, it's about being that person, developing those habits, finding the model, and also learning what you need to know to do all of those things.
I completely agree. And it's so interesting as a health coach and a business owner, because I notice, you know, I'll be talking to a client and say, you don't need a meal plan. I know you want that. I know you just want to be told, and that's not what's going to make you successful. And then I notice that I have the same tendency. I'll turn around and tell my business coach, like, why can't you just give me the answer? And that it's what we want. We want there to be a very formulaic solution that this person knows more than me. They can just tell me, I will blanket apply it exactly how they say, and boom, the result that, you know, was promised. And it would be nice. And certainly in both health and business, there are a lot of people selling those formulas. And I think that really is what separates the genuine coaches from everyone else, is it's very easy to have personal success doing things a certain way and then package it up and turn around and say, do what I did, get the same success I did. An actual professional says, I know it's not that simple. I know what worked for me may not work for someone else. And I can't just be a one-trick pony who says, well, if my method doesn't work for you, then too bad, you're hopeless. But actually has the depth of knowledge to say, like you said, these are the models. These are, you know, the business big rocks, or these are the health big rocks, that these general ideas are what will make you successful. But the exact unique combination, how you apply them to your life or to your business, is going to vary. And that's where having actual personal help comes in, where you have somebody to bounce ideas off or say, I tried this, here's what happened, where do I go from here? Rather than just trying to sort of squeeze yourself into whatever size shape is, you know, is the program.
In terms of practical takeaways, those big rocks, something that our listeners can do right now after they listen to this episode, what quick wins could you give them from what it is that you teach?
Great question. Okay. So something I'm really big on is building consistency and making it your superpower, because I know that only good things come from that. Whatever you're consistently doing, and even being inconsistent, is consistent, that's what's going to drive your success or lack thereof. So I'm a big advocate of having some sort of basic consistency tracker. And it can be as simple as the calendar you have hanging on your wall. You can print off some graphic you color in. You can use stickers. But ultimately, figure out what are my big rocks? So if it's your health, are you getting in at least 6,000 to 8,000 steps per day? Are you following a progressive and heavy strength training program a few times a week? Are you valuing rest and recovery to maximize the results of your workouts? On the nutrition front, are you aware of the calorie range that supports your goals based on your body and your activity level? Are you prioritizing your protein and your fiber? Those are the main big rocks. So figure out whatever your goal is, what are your big rocks, and start tracking your consistency. There's something very motivating about seeing a streak come together. And even if it's, you know, a 3-day week streak, that still counts. But to see, okay, I said Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I was going to do this thing. And look, sticker, sticker, sticker. It helps build momentum. It helps build confidence. And it helps you put in the reps so that you see the results that you're after. And if you don't, then it helps you have the data to see, okay, what am I overlooking or what needs to change? So that's another win, is another way to get a quick win, is to start documenting the things that you care about. It could be some form of food tracking. It could be writing down the weights that you're using in your workouts. But any form of documentation is just data that then you can reflect on and see what you can learn from it. What am I doing well? Where do I need to invest more energy? Because without data, you're just grasping at straws. It's like saying you want to save money, but refuse to look at your bank statement. It's like, well, you might be able to still save money, but it's going to be a lot easier if you know your baseline, you know where your money is currently going, and then you set some reasonable goals for how to do things differently from there. So if you're feeling like, I don't even know where to begin, just a week of establishing your baseline can be really eye-opening to then say, oh, well, that's highlighted some obvious areas that I can improve pretty quickly, get those wins, and keep going.
That's awesome. So you're saying essentially write down whatever, you know, weight regimen you have, how much you're lifting, your reps, what you're eating, and then give yourself a star, give yourself a sticker, like you said, and then look at that, look back at that as your baseline to show you where you're improving. You know, it's funny, Esther, because that's something I teach in my business programs, which is to take stock of your week. At the end of the week, look back and see, what feedback am I getting on the marketing that I did this week? Sometimes it's over the course of a month or longer, depending on what you're implementing. But that idea of writing it down, and it's, you know, it's so funny. One of my podcast guests recently shared something that most people don't write their goals down. And I think it's so in line with what you're saying, write everything down.
Absolutely. I could talk for hours about goals. And when you talked about reflecting on your week, we have something we call life admin, which a client coined years ago, but is essentially that, is actually taking the time to reflect on the previous week. And obviously, yes, goal set for the upcoming one. But I think the step that a lot of people miss is they'll kind of do like the busy work of collecting the data and then feel like that in and of itself is checking the box. And it's like, well, if you're not looking at it, it's not useful at all to you. You're just creating work for yourself. So the magic is in looking and seeing, what can I learn from this? So, oh, okay, well, I haven't gotten any engagement on any of my marketing in the past month. That's a red flag. What am I going to do about it? If you're just saying, okay, I made, you know, 5 posts per week, done. I'm doing all the things. Why isn't it working? So that reflection is so important. And then I think the other piece is setting goals that are realistic based on the upcoming week. We have a tendency to kind of blindly set goals based on a perfect world rather than a realistic one. So this is something like, all right, starting Monday, I'm so tired of, you know, feeling the way I do, my clothes being too tight. Starting Monday, I'm waking up at 5 a.m. I'm doing an hour-long workout. I'm going to have a green smoothie. I'm going to have a salad for lunch. And I'm going to do that Monday through Friday, starting immediately. And ignoring the fact that for the last month, maybe you've gotten up early once and you're averaging 2 workouts a week. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's this major jump from what you have been doing in recent history and what you're telling yourself you're going to do. And we just ignore that. We tell ourselves that this week will somehow be drastically different, and it's just not. And in kind of individual instances, this isn't a huge deal. Like, okay, I set a goal, I didn't reach it, no big deal. But when you do it week in and week out, and you keep setting these goals that you have really no intention of actually reaching, you train yourself that it doesn't matter what you say, you're not going to do it anyway. And that's a really dangerous place to be, because then you don't trust yourself to be reliable the way you would with another person. So it's so important to just really be honest when you're doing your reflection. Okay, how many workouts did I do? One? Okay, well, then the goal this week is to do two. And if I do two this week and it felt like a stretch, like I almost didn't get it done, well, then I'm not going to increase the goal until two feels normal, like I can just do it no matter what. And that's how you rebuild the trust in yourself. And that's how you build the confidence to believe that you actually will reach this big goal, because you're doing the small things along the way.
Take small steps. It's such good advice. I love that. And I think everyone listening, most people listening, including me, can raise their hand about that whole green smoothie and the 5 a.m. club. And it makes so much sense what you're saying, to really train ourselves and take small steps and learn to trust ourselves in the process.
It's certainly something I do myself, not with my exercise and nutrition anymore, but definitely in business. If I have, you know, a slow week, my knee-jerk reaction is, well, I'm going to double down. And I've finally now gotten to the point where I was like, no, you're not. That never works. So really working through the mental baggage of, it feels too slow, I need to do more. And it's like, okay, you can do more and have these starts and stops that get you nowhere, or you can do less consistently and build on it and get this positive momentum going, so that you over longer periods of time make so much progress and never get overwhelmed. But it's a hard change to wrap your head around, because baby steps don't feel like they add up until they do.
Right. Absolutely. I think about 2% per week. If we can make 2% per week changes, we have made 104% over the course of a year.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's a great way to look at your weight loss goals as well, is it's so easy to say, I only lost half a pound this week, or I only lost a pound. Why isn't it faster? And it's like, well, let's zoom out a little bit. Would you be happy to have lost 50 to 100 pounds this year? You sure would. That's how you get there. It's not going to be in 50 pound chunks. It's going to be half a pound at a time. It's going to be, oh, I gained one this week. But when you give, you know, that perspective of zooming out and taking the 50,000 foot view, like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Especially if what you're doing to get that result doesn't feel overwhelming and all consuming. I just have to keep doing what I'm doing for, you know, the rest of the year, and I'll be down 50 or 100 pounds. Okay. Sign me up.
Right. Wow. Absolutely. So I love everything you're saying so much. And it's so clear what an asset you are to your clients and everyone you serve. And you've already helped us so much on this episode today. So I think it's a great time for us to segue into business, because I know that you have built a business around your passion, and you have a team of highly qualified professionals working with you in your company. You've built a multi-six-figure business. And I think it would be great if we could break down your process, your business building journey, and what you've done, Esther, to get to this point.
Well, I have taken the long and arduous road that many of us do. When I first started, I don't think I really knew the word entrepreneur when I grew up. It's not even really something that like resonates with you, with me. I sort of fell into it because I met my husband, who's in the Navy, and I knew that if I had a future with him, it would mean moving very frequently. And I knew I wanted to have a career. And also, I didn't want to be personal training and finding a new gym every time we moved and building up a clientele just in time to move again. And this was in like the early 20s, this was like 2010-ish, where there was kind of the rise of the early internet entrepreneurs who, it just seemed like, were making money hand over foot and quite easily. And I was young and probably a little naive, and I was like, okay, well, I'm smart and I'm qualified and surely I can do that. And, you know, several years later, I had this essentially baby blog that my dad was the only person, baby as in like not thriving, not that it was about babies, but you know, this blog that I was posting to a couple times a week and doing basic recipes, and just, I had no idea what I was doing. And my husband kept telling me, my now husband kept telling me to invest in myself and hire a business coach who could help me, or a mentor or someone. And I was just so stubborn and just felt like I should be able to figure this out myself, which now I so understand where my clients are coming from when they just feel like I shouldn't need someone to help me with how to eat and how to exercise. I should be able to do it myself. I'm like, yeah, sure. And you can keep thinking that, and you can beat your head against the wall, and you can maybe eventually get there. Or you can take the quicker, more pleasant route by having someone who guides you, helps you avoid those very, very common pitfalls and get there, you know, faster and in one piece. So eventually I relented and started investing in mentors. And now I've spent a ridiculous amount of money on mentorship and coaching and learned a lot through trial and error and doing things in the wrong order, listening to the wrong people, spending a good chunk of time wanting there to be a formula and an answer of, I just haven't found the right person yet who will just tell me what to do. And then finally getting it through to myself that that's not how it works, that I need to really fully commit myself to one approach and give it my all instead of trying haphazardly and half-assed to do too many things at once, which is very much like what people do with weight loss is, I'll try this, I'll try that. If that doesn't work right away, I'll try something else. And it's like, you just never put in the reps for it to work. So the thing that has really helped me is leaning into my more natural strengths. There are a lot of people in the fitness industry, especially, who are very extroverted, who want to be the center of attention and love to, you know, post reels and TikToks and workout videos and things like that, and, you know, be posting groups. And I've just never been that comfortable being the center of attention and having eyes on me. So where I really kind of found my place was providing value in Facebook groups where people were asking questions that I knew I could help with. And instead of having this kind of like, oh, look at me, here's a post where, you know, that I'm starting, more so offering the most valuable response to every question that I see that I know I can help with, and really going all in on that strategy. I've spent 1 to 2 hours a day, almost 365 days a year, I'd say probably 360 days a year, for the last four-ish years doing exactly that. And, you know, now when you do the math, it's thousands of hours. But that really was the difference maker, was stopping the focus on how am I going to make money? Where's this client going to come from? And more so, who can I serve? Where can I add value? And just trusting that I'm not a religious person or even very spiritual per se, but just kind of like trusting that when you put good into the universe, good comes back to you. And that's kind of what drives me, is I think when I'm really in my feelings about it, I think about each woman who's posting as like, this is someone's mom. And how would I want someone in my position to respond to my mom with empathy and with, you know, it's just so easy to get, I guess, a little burnt out or disillusioned with answering the same things over and over again. And especially when you have a base of knowledge in a certain area, to just be like, oh, why don't people get it? And to start giving really short, curt answers and be kind of snippy or dismissive. And I really try to remember that it probably took a lot for this person to ask in the first place. Even being vulnerable among strangers virtually is not an easy thing to do. So to, you know, to think about the frame of mind that someone is in when they're asking a question, and to respond with the respect and the compassion and the empathy that they deserve, and also try to give actual actionable advice, that it's not just like this woo woo, like, oh, you can do it, I know you can, but also like, and here's a step for you to take so that you start to pull yourself out of this, you know, this hole that you're in. And then to also remember that you're not just responding to the person who made that post. You're responding to the potentially hundreds or thousands of people who may see your response in the future. That, you know, everything on the internet is pretty permanent. And I want, for as far back as a person can go, I want them to see I have been consistent, I have been understanding, I've been helpful, and to know that even if you may not see eye to eye with a single person, you can still add value to other people who may be reading it. So that was really the biggest thing that kind of was the difference maker in my business. And then as it started growing and I started growing more as a business owner and a person, then I started doing kind of scarier things like starting my own podcast and finding my voice that way, which has been really cool. But I think probably the biggest takeaway is like, just find something like A, you know, identify your clients and where they are. And then B, find something that yes, pushes you out of your comfort zone enough, but isn't like turning your world upside down to the point that you can't make yourself do it consistently. And then just show up consistently for at least 3 to 6 months with no expectations. And then kind of see where you are. And there's no doubt in my mind that you will be really pleasantly surprised by what you can create with that kind of effort.
I love that for so many reasons. And it's interesting, Esther, because I've spoken with a lot of people on the podcast and also in real life and entrepreneurs that I've met, and I've never heard someone say this. I've never heard someone say that they've built their business by sharing comments in other people's Facebook groups. So congratulations on being the first one.
Thank you. It's
really refreshing too, because you found something that worked with your strengths, it worked with your interests, and it was sustainable. And you've done it consistently over time. So I'd love to hear, in terms of specifics, how do you actually find those Facebook groups? And then what does your interaction look like? What kinds of strategies are you implementing to interact in the most helpful and also mindful way in terms of business?
Those are great questions. The finding of the groups is the hardest part. It took me a long time and it's still sort of a work in progress. It's really, I'm sorry that this is not a better answer, but it's really process of elimination, trial and error. You join a bunch of groups, you feel them out. Are your ideal clients actually in there? You know, so you got to start with some sort of like keyword or some common interest or something like that. So, you know, if you're a business coach, if you're looking for groups of other entrepreneurs, if you're a health coach looking for, you know, health related groups, whether it's recipes or diabetes education or things like that. And there's no shortage of those groups, but you're going to get inside some and you're going to be like, oh, this is all other entrepreneurs trying to find clients. So it's all super pitchy. You're going to find some groups that are just, you know, a front for some multi-level marketing company. There's going to be a lot that you get in and you're just like, okay, this is not my group. But then you're going to start to find some that are engaged. The people are asking good questions, are interesting. You may even find that you have like a degree of separation between the purpose of the group and your business. So for example, I don't really much market specifically to moms or moms with kids of a certain age, but there's a lot of relevant info to me in local mom groups. Actually, there's a good example of that is we were traveling to New Jersey for a wedding several years ago when I had a little baby. And I was needing to find childcare because my son couldn't come to the wedding. So I joined a local mom's group looking for, you know, a vetted babysitter and things like that. And then just forgot to leave the group afterwards. And one day popped up on my feed, someone from that group looking for, you know, weight loss advice. So things like that, it may benefit you to just join groups of your interests and see, are people talking about other topics in here too? Am I in a, you know, the local Houston group, but I keep seeing posts of people saying, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I'm looking for a side gig. What could I do? And you're a business coach or an Etsy coach, and you think, oh, well, I have some thoughts there, things like that. So that's going to be the hardest part is finding kind of your core group. I'd say I have like 5 to 7 groups that are like my main ones. What you'll notice is you got to invest the time. Like I said, it's been years that I've been doing this and I've noticed certain other groups get recommended by those groups. So if you see enough people who you kind of know, these are my ideal clients and they're saying they like this other group, let me go check that out. So it's kind of evolved over time where I started off with a couple and those have kind of phased out, but new ones have emerged. So once you're in there, really, 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 really important to not come in super hot and salesy. Because think about, one of my business coaches once said, you know, think about virtual groups like you would a group gathering in person. So you're not going to like knock on somebody's door, AKA join this Facebook group, and coming in, you know, shooting your business cards out of one of those like cash guns, just at anybody who looks at you, right? You're going to come in and you're going to, you know, kind of see what's what, take your shoes off, get to know a couple of people, just like, I don't want to say lurk, but like, don't come in too hot, especially before you know the vibe of the group. There are certain groups, like make sure you read the rules, if possible, know who the admin are and kind of, I don't want to say suck up to them, but like get on their good side. Follow the rules is a big one. So a lot of groups will say you can't self-promote. They're most of my groups, I can't put links to my podcasts or my blogs, even if they're like the perfect resource, which can be frustrating, but also not my group, not my rules. So, okay. So working within the constraints that are, you know, required in the group, you'd be very pleasantly surprised to see how much of your expertise will show through without needing to say, I'm so-and-so who has these certifications and has this business, like, look at me and look how important I am. Just the way you speak to people will convey what you know and who you are. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just start in getting involved. And in larger, more active groups, it's probably more time effective to search for keywords. If there are like hundreds of posts that are happening per day, you don't want to be scrolling for hours on end to see if one happens to be relevant. So figure out, okay, should I be Googling, you know, should I be searching by business or virtual assistant or side hustle or whatever words are relevant to you, and sort of shorten the time you're spending that way.
Brilliant. Yeah. It's a great idea. I like that. I like that idea of finding those groups and then getting to know your admin, understanding the rules, and going in and offering value. And then that other idea you mentioned about searching by keyword makes a lot of sense as well. Figuring out what those keywords are and then finding people that way. I'm already thinking, I'm wondering if this applies on Quora or in other forums as well.
I'm sure it does. I'm not familiar. I've used that site a couple times. I know on Reddit, I've never been a Redditor, but I know there are people, you know, business owners who use it in a similar way and develop a, you know, kind of a following or a reputation in certain forums and things like that. So I think, yeah, depending on your, you know, your niche and your industry, if that's where your people are, and if that's where, you know, you like to engage anyway, that's super helpful, is if the platform is one that you actually enjoy. Like, I haven't joined TikTok because the whole thing sounds terrible to me. I do not want to record videos. I certainly do not want to dance. I don't want to get sucked into watching other people do those things. So I just haven't gone there. So if the platform that you're choosing is also one that you don't mind spending time on, it's going to make it a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm also a Facebook person, and I've heard this advice about posting in different places, LinkedIn, you know, finding those influential, be it, you know, famous people, like finding someone like Gary Vee and then adding value to questions on his post. Because at the end of the day, Gary Vee is not going to be coaching anybody one-on-one. He doesn't have a 12-week program, but we do. So I think all of this is really, really helpful. And for everybody listening, you can use this, apply this to your platform and where you are. Esther, I love all of this so much. I would love to share about your 12-week program and where our listeners can find you and connect with you and learn more about what you do.
Thank you. This has been such a fun conversation. I love getting to talk both health and business. So this has been super fun. So we have a 12-week program. It's called Gone for Good, largely because I am not creatively inclined. So when I needed to name it, I was like, well, what's the goal we're after? We want the weight gone for good. So here we are. And it's exactly what you said. It's a 12-week program. We take you through all of the pillars we talked about, with the ultimate goal being by the time you graduate, you are confident that you will continue making progress on your own. And when you reach your goal, you'll stay there. We have the option to continue with us beyond the 12 weeks. We're not going to throw you at the wolves, but our ultimate goal is that you feel confident on your own. And it's really been created based on what I thought my mom would need to be successful. And you can learn more about it at estheravant.com/coaching.
Great. And I'm going to stick a link to that in the show notes. Are there other places where you hang out where our listeners can connect with you?
Yeah. So my absolute fave is my podcast, which I can't believe I'm saying, but I'm 124 episodes in and it's been such a blast. It's called Live Diet Free and it's on all the podcast places. I read every review and I appreciate them so much. As far as actually having a back and forth dialogue, Facebook is one of my favorite places. You can add me as a personal friend. My name's Esther Avant. I have a group called Live Diet Free on there. And then I'm also on Instagram at esther.avant, which is a fun place to just kind of connect easily.
If there's one thing you could share with your younger self about fitness or about business or about life in a couple sentences, what would you share?
You know what it is? You will figure it out.
Amazing. Esther Avant, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, before we go, here's my roundup from the show. Number one, find role models who will inspire you in fitness and in business. Number two, let go of negativity and find messages about fitness that are going to support you and inspire you. Number three, focus on progress over perfection. Making small changes over time adds up to a huge difference. Number four, when it comes to business or marketing, take inventory of your progress. Number five, set up an advisory board, people who you can turn to give you help and guidance on your journey. That is my roundup for the episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know there's a lot of places that you could be, and it means so much to me that you're here, that you're listening, and that we're on this journey together. To connect with Esther, learn about her coaching program, or anything else we talked about on the show today, visit the show notes. You'll find all of our socials, all of our websites, and everything that was promoted in the show notes, wherever you're listening. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, I want to ask you to share it with one person who you think might benefit. You can also review and rate the show wherever you're listening. And if you send me a screenshot on social media or via email, I have a very special gift to thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Let's stay connected, and I will see you next week.